Father, I just pray that you will bless the word this morning as it comes. Lord, may it be from your heart. May it be what you're saying to us as individuals and as a body. May it come, Lord. May it touch every heart that's here. May there be nobody in this room that feels that they have not been spoken to by you this morning. Whether they hear you audibly, whether they hear that still small voice in their heart, or whether they feel that you've spoken to them through your precious word. So just come right now, Lord. We do need, Lord, instruction from you in these days. We do need, as Paul used to pray, he used to pray, Lord, that we may have wisdom and understanding. Lord, do it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It's good to have you all with us. Visitors, if you're welcome. Visitors, please feel welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. I started last week talking about the Father heart of God. And I want to carry on with that this week. And because I've been stirred by Billy Graham's son has just been to Blackpool a couple of weeks ago. And they put posters up. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, he was preaching there in Blackpool, doing a mission like his father used to do. And they put advertisements on the buses and advertising that it was coming. And there was a protest saying that he was a hate preacher. And it stirred something in me because of the fact that we as Christians, we're actually on this earth representing a God who the Bible says is love. It says he is love. He's loved you and I with a love that will last forever. We looked last week at John 3:16, which is the most probably well-known scripture in the Bible, maybe. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, you know, how much love does it take to give up your only begotten son and carry the failings of the world, put it on him, his only son, all because he loved. And when John wrote his letters, 1 John 4, which we will go to shortly, it tells us about the fact that God is love. That's what he is. The Old Testament tells us various attributes towards him, that he wanted them to know his people as their healer. And he wanted them to know him as their provider wherever they went, whatever they did. But he is, his makeup, his very character, what he's about, is love. And I think we, along with the Christian church worldwide, has failed to put that message over. We can preach about various things, but God wants us to know that he is love, and he is consistent with that love. He's not like human beings where they get up next morning and, you know, porridge is cold or something like that, and they'll grumble like anything and fall out with you or whatever. God is consistent with his love. He loves us always. Now he'll discipline us as a father disciplines his children, but he loves us. He is love. He can't do anything else. He can't be anything else. And I described last week as regards some people say, well, you know, all those things that happened in the Bible talks about the wrath of God and things like that. And the best way I can describe it is, you know, you imagine a young lady, she's growing up in a community and everybody likes her. She helps people. She's kind. There's nobody that doesn't like her. And then somebody tries, when she's got a baby, to take that baby from her. Well, I thought she was nice. I thought she was kind. Yeah, but you tried to take the baby away from her. And when God created man, he created him to have fellowship. He created him. It was like his premier, if you like, creation. He created the stars. He created the angels. But the icing on the cake for him was us, human beings, Adam. That was the pinnacle, if you like, of his creation. And he created him in his own image. He created him in his image, that he could actually fellowship with him. They can have a rapport. They can have this deep relationship, heart to heart together. And whatever it is, something has come between them. And he ain't got the same fellowship. It's like the baby's been ripped from that mother, pulled from her. And so, yes, as people try to pull people away from that fellowship and connection with God, there is a side to God. But he demonstrated his love for mankind when he gave his only begotten Son to die upon that cross, that horrible gibbet, that horrible form of execution. A demonstration of his love for such as you and me. John 14, we looked at it last week. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the way. And the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the access point to God the Father. The Father is the one who is love. And he demonstrated it through his Son. He loves us. Let's turn to those scriptures in 1 John. 1 John actually is my favorite part of the Bible. It just speaks in every chapter or every verse, if you like, about the enormity of God's love for us. Let's break in at verse 16. And we covered two of these verses last week, but we're going further than that this week. So just bear with me, those who were here last week. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. That's what it says. That's not my words. That is the words of the Bible. He is love. He can't be anything else to you than love, because that's what he is. 24/7. Human beings are not that, 24/7. As you found in life, people let you down, People failed you. You know, I read something in my time with the Lord this morning. Just let me read some of this to you. It actually emphasizes exactly what I've been trying to put over last week and what I'm attempting to do this week. Sometimes I see Christians struggle and sweating in an effort to live by faith. To watch them, you'd think that faith in God is very difficult to obtain and extremely complicated to walk in. But God never intended living by faith to be difficult. He meant it to be so simple that even a child could do it. We're the ones who made it hard, and we did it by separating it from love. Since faith works by love, you can quickly see what a great mistake that can be. To have faith in God basically means to trust Him. Before we trust anyone, we have to know their heart. We have to know not only what they've promised us, but why they have made those promises. Unless we know their motives, we can never fully trust them. If they're under pressure, for example, and have to choose between protecting themselves or us, we're never sure exactly what they will do. I won't read any more of that, but just to expand on it. Say, for instance, you're signing up with an insurance company. Okay, I'm going to pay X amount, okay, per month. Is that company trustworthy? Is that company going to come up with what you need when you need it? Okay? And it's the same with this understanding of God. What we don't realize inside us is the enormity of this love that He has for us. So when we pray and we ask Him, we're asking somebody that we know loves us. Just like the example I gave last week, I think it was last week, but recently I have. You imagine two girls, 15 years of age, let's say. They're starting to spread their wings, and they decide they want to go to London on their own. So they go. They think, well, it's going to cost about £50, okay? We'll need about £50 for the day. Okay, we'll both go home, and we'll ask Dad for £50. Okay? But one of those girls, Dad beats her regularly, treats her terribly. The other one, he spoils her. He loves her. He cuddles her. He communicates love to her. Communicates security. Which one is going to have most confidence when they go ask their father for the £50? And this is how it is with our connection with Almighty God and our praying and our trusting Him and our believing Him. You cannot have faith in God without love. Without understanding the love that He is and the love that He has. He says that He will love you in this Bible with an everlasting love. In other words, it'll last forever. It'll last forever. It won't be up and down like the emotions of a man or a woman. He loves you with an everlasting love. It also teaches as well in the Bible that love will never fail. It's always there. It's our confidence in that love that we need to realize. It's the confidence Bible says faith works through love. Why does it work through love? Because of exactly what I've just said. It's the fact that we need to know this loving God that we're actually praying to, we're singing to. We're telling him our desperation in our heart. We're expressing how we really feel. And it's like he feels it as well. He is interested. He says that the hairs of our head are numbered. Why are they numbered? It reminds me a little bit of our first grandchild. Somewhere at home, I've got a little lock of his hair in an envelope somewhere. My daughter gave me it. And so that was before he had his first haircut. Okay? Now, we as human beings, we actually keep things like that, don't we? Hey? Some of you have probably done the same. But my daughter gave me that. And, but you see, your Heavenly Father's like that as well. That's why even the hairs on you, well, there's not many to number with me now, but I mean, at one time there was. but you know, he got them numbered. You don't do that unless you care for somebody, unless you're interested in every detail of their life. You know, I didn't plan to say this, but because I think I've covered it in the past before, but just to carry everybody with us, when God created Adam in the garden, in his image, he created it with man and woman in initially. He took the woman out of the man. So to see the image of God, you've got to see the male and the female. And one of my favorite scriptures to preach from over the years has been from John 13, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And you know, I only realized it in the last 24 hours or so that I personally believe that that is the mother side of God. I mean, we men, to start with, normally, we wouldn't be interested in whether one another's feet were clean, would we? You know, if Adrian might be a friend of what have you, you know, but I don't sit in here on a morning thinking, I maybe, you know, I have to ask him if I ought to wash his feet this morning. But, you know, a mother may do. A mother may do. When he was a little boy, she might have been concerned about, you know, has he got clean clothes on, or, you know, when he goes to school or whatever. I remember the story about a preacher who, he went away from the Lord. He was a rock musician and things like that, and then came back to the Lord and finished up preaching. And he tells a fantastic story about how he had a road accident in a sports car he got, flipped it three times. His mother ran straight into the hospital room, weren't interested about how he were and what have you. She said, did you have clean underwear on? He turned around and he said, Mom, he says, when you've been in a car that's flipped three times, nobody has clean underwear. So, but what I'm trying to say to you is there's a mother side of God, a caring. This caring side. You see a hen with its wings, you know, with the chickens running at the side, and you know, there's that mothering side where you can go to God and talk to him as Father, and you can talk to him of the issues that you would have talked to your mother about. Because just like a mother cares, he cares. Let's carry on in this 1 John 4. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. We are like him. We are meant to want to become like him. So love has to grow within us, and it as Christians. It has to grow. And when we say that, when it says in the Bible that we have confidence on the day of judgment, of course you will. You're going to somebody that's like you. You've understood that you're going to somebody who loves you. When you leave this earth, you're going into the arms of somebody that loves you. You're going to go into the next world with a lot more confidence. Once this gets down inside you and you understand how much you are loved, the church worldwide has got to get this message out. That when Franklin Graham comes back to Blackpool, say in 2 years' time, they won't say that he's a hate preacher. But he's a representative of love himself. Like you and I are. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. You know, in your mind, your heart, whatever, inside you, fear and love will not operate in the same environment. And I gave the example last week that I've given lots of times. And that is, if you know of a child that wakes up in the middle of the night, hears a noise in the garden, runs down the landing, into mom and dad's room, gets in the middle of mom and dad within seconds. If that child is growing up in a loving, caring environment, it'll have forgotten all about the noise in the garden. It can't feel love and security and fear at the same time. You will either have one or the other operating. I know sometimes there's anxiety for our children and we're concerned about them and what have you, but if love rises up inside you and the understanding of how much you're loved and your children are loved, that will deal with the fear. And if we are operating in fear, chances are we'll make wrong decisions. Making them out of stress, making them out of pressure. When our son was electrocuted with, was it 26 or 27,000 volts of electricity, we get a phone call and I knew it was serious. This was what? 2 years ago, August. And I could tell by Karen's face and her reaction, she went like that, I knew it was serious. And I said, refuse to give in to fear. Turned out afterwards that, because if I give in to fear, I've got no confidence in God to do anything. I've got no confidence. You can't release confidence in God once fear has come in. We found out afterwards that he'd had this, 27,000 volts going through him. And paramedics couldn't resuscitate him. And he's living in Canada. So they whisked him, to a hospital. And we were praying, reaching out to God. And it looked like he'd gone. But somewhere on that journey, He came back round. I think it was when they actually got him into the hospital. But he'd been dead for a while. He'd been dead. But he's alive. He's alive. I didn't want fear in the that same environment. I wanted to stay connected with God. I wanted to stay connected with love himself. Who cares for me? Which I believe made a difference as regards when we prayed. Amen? So, and just to verify it, many of you know that my son's alive. He's been here for 6 months and then gone back to Canada since then. So, yeah, and doing well. And doing well and walking with God and so, amen. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Some of your translations have got perfected love. It's a process. The more love you take in, the more you draw on this love. The more you'll operate in that rather than fear. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. It ain't a suggestion, folks. I see it very much like a triangle, okay? God's at the top of the triangle. My wife is at the other corner of the triangle. I'm at this one. If I want to get closer to God, I can't do it without getting closer to her. If I don't love her more than I did a year ago, I haven't really grown in God. You turn around to me and say, oh, well, I've been on an evangelism course. You know, I know more about God now. But do you know more about love? Do you know more about how to exercise love? Do you know more about how to wash feet? Do you know more about how to care for those around you and communicate the very heart of God? Because that very heart of God will be a heart of love. So just like Franklin Graham, this morning I'm going to say to you, if any of you do not know this relationship with love himself and do not feel that you can sit down and you can talk to him just like you'd talk to your daddy, just like you'd talk to your mother, tell him what's on your mind, tell him what's hurting, tell him what is occupying your thinking, even asking him to take away the fear. If you've got fear. Because you're coming to somebody who loves you. And we have not been, church-wise, I'm talking about worldwide, very good in communicating this. We've put the emphasis on things that God don't like more than what he is. Let's just stand, shall we? Would you play a moment, Bruno? Just play in the background, if you would. Yes, Lord. Let's just stand. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. For those who can stand or those who can't, that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this love. Jesus died that we would have access to the Father. And Lord, and as I said last week, the words thank you seem so inadequate. But Lord, it's all we've got to say to you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And may this revelation cause us to be more obedient to you, to want to run after you, to be what you intended us to be.